We're going to be in Psalms 34 tonight, and it is a blessing to be here. I love your church, and it's the second best church in America. I really do. I love your church. You folks are a blessing. You have been such an encouragement to me. I've been coming down here for 7 years. Doesn't seem possible. For 7 years now, and teaching in the college. I really was shocked. I mean this. I know I'm not a very good preacher, and, you know, there are a lot better pastors in this state, for sure, that could come and teach. And when your pastor asked me to come and teach at the college, I was just like, you know, are you sure? And he allowed me to come, and your pastor's been such a good friend to me. I've known him for 30 years. 30 years we've known each other. Like you said, Brother Steve did have hair one day. Actually, he was a pretty good-looking guy, actually. And, well, let's have a church vote tonight. How many think Brother Steve is still good-looking? Raise your hand. How many don't think he's still good-looking? Raise your hand. All right, you guys. You don't want to take a stand on anything, do you? We were division leaders together. You know, I've always had a hard time calling him Pastor Esposito, Brother Esposito. I've always known him as Brother Joe. And, of course, Johnny always called him Brother Johnny. And, of course, Brother Steve. And he always called me, and they always called me Brother Joey. And I hated that. Because, you know, Joey, it just sounds so wimpy, you know. And even when I get letters in... sometimes from here, it still says Pastor Joey Grandy. And I don't even open them up. I just tear them up and throw them in the trash. Okay. Oh, the checks are in there. Oh, that's where they went, huh? And I do. I love your pastor. And I miss him. I miss him. I know you do. I know you do. And we pray for him all the time. Whenever our family kneels at family altar, we pray for him. And I pray for him every single day. And looking forward to the day he gets back up. And pray for his family. Pray for his wife. Pray for this church. And, you know, the day, of course, when it all happened, that Thursday, and I came down here on Tuesday, I'll be honest with you, I was nervous. I didn't know how to act. I didn't know what I was going to say or anything. And I really thought there would be this kind of this gloomy spirit. And I know I shouldn't have thought that, but that's what I thought. But when I came down here, it was just the exact opposite. You folks, and I know you have your times, but you folks are right on top side. Yes, sir. And it was just amazing. It really has been amazing to me. What a tremendous testimony the spirit of this church has been. And you are a testimony not only to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you are a testimony to your pastor. And just I'm just so thankful to be here and be a part of this. And we love you and thank God for you and are praying for you immensely for all that God is still going to do. And God is still going to do some great things in this church. I'm going to tell you, I have no idea what it is, but it's going to do some great, great, great things. So Psalms 34, I think I said all I want to say. Appreciate Brother Steve. I love Brother Steve. He's an amazing man. I never want to get in an argument with him or satire or, you know, start shooting barbs at each other. He always wins. This guy is amazing. He just comes up with them like that, and I just kind of sit there with my mouth open, all these arrows in my head, you know. But I love him. He calls me genuine. He's a genuine Christian too. And he's always been a blessing, faithful to his pastor, and just a godly, good man, a wonderful wife, wonderful family. To thank God that you have a leader that can step in place and help you out and continue this thing to going the way it needs to go. Psalms 34, this is such a great psalm. And, you know, the more I think about this message I'm going to preach, I keep thinking I'm going to preach to you, but this message really is a reflection of you. This message is you. It's his church. Look at Psalms 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. In our text, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. That's what I want to preach on tonight. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Father, we ask your blessing upon this message. There's nothing I can say that they don't already know. But I want to, Lord, just as they have been a friend to me, to my wife, to my family, I want to be a friend to them tonight. Just as they have been an encouragement to my church, my children, Lord, I want to be an encouragement to them. And so I pray, God, that you just get a hold of our hearts tonight, that you would apply it to our hearts in a personal way, that we would be reminded of this wonderful, wonderful truth, that blessed is the man that trusteth in him. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, a while back, I was reading the Psalms, and I just noted the fact that that phrase, blessed is the man, is used many times in the book of Psalms. And the word blessed is a wonderful word because it's a word that deals with this thing of an internal, intense joy that can come into and be a part of a child of God. And so God gives us several times that he uses that phrase, blessed is the man, and then he teaches us something that can help us to be that blessed man. Tonight's message is one of those, and he says here, once again, if you'd look at it, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and then he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. David wrote this psalm, as David wrote many of the psalms. And it sometimes helps to understand the background, the historical background of these things. And this psalm actually comes from 1 Samuel chapter number 21. And it is in that chapter, of course, David now for several years has been on the run. And Saul is the one that has been chasing him, wanting to kill him. And not only that has happened, but now David in 1 Samuel 21 is in the hands of the Philistines. And they want to hurt him. And so David comes up with the idea that he's going to act like a crazy man. And so he starts allowing spittle to come in his face. He starts, you know, scratching on the wood. And he starts acting like he has gone insane. And, of course, back in those days, whenever anybody was like that, they would never hurt them. And so they came to the conclusion that literally David had lost his mind. And so David was then, of course, able to flee the Philistines and escape. And David now ends up in a cave with a few choice men. And now he's in this cave. And he's not in the luxury of a palace. That's not going to come for a while. And he's in a cave. And for much of the time, he's by himself. He's on the run. Saul wants to kill him. Nothing's going well for him. Nothing's going right for him. And he writes this psalm. And he writes those words. And I can see him in the cave. And he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. He's saying, even though I'm in the cave, he said, I'm trusting the Lord. And he says, I'm a blessed man. Can I tell you something? That is something the world has no idea, cannot even understand. That someone can be chased down, wanted to be killed, and almost many times he's always at the point where something could happen that could take his life, and yet David is saying, you know, I am a blessed man. I've got joy. Hey, listen, I'm living in a cave, but I've still got joy in my heart. Things are not going the way I want them to go, but I still have a joy inside. I may not have a smile on my face all the time, but I've got joy in my heart. And why is that? Because David had learned something, and I believe that you have learned and you are learning more and more all the time, that the key to the Christian life, the key to the blessed life, the key to the joyful life is that you just keep on trusting the Lord. And there's so many times in my life and in the lives of people in my church where they have these terrible things that come into their life and they don't know what to do. And all I can say to them, you just got to trust the Lord. And the honest truth is that is where sometimes we get in our life, and that is where you are at right now in your life. You need to just trust the Lord. That's why when I came down here on that day, and everybody was upbeat, and everybody was praising the Lord, and everybody had the right spirit. I'll tell you why. Because they were trusting the Lord. And they understood that there's somebody bigger, and there's somebody greater that is involved in all these things happening in their life. And if you're down in the dumps tonight, there's one word of advice I'll give you tonight. You just keep trusting the Lord. You keep trusting in Him. And I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about three things about this matter of trusting God. By the way, you are a reflection of this message tonight. This is you. Number one, the first thing I want you to see is the reactions of the trusting man. I want you to see the reaction of a trusting man. What we see here is David's reaction to the things that were going on in his life. I want you to notice he wasn't sulking. I want you to notice he wasn't moaning and groaning. I want you to notice he wasn't fretting. Because of what was going on in his life. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't angry at God. He wasn't saying God is unjust. God is unloving. That's not the reaction that David was having. By the way, that's not the reaction that takes place in somebody who's trusting the Lord. Look what he says in verse number one. He said, here's the reaction. Notice the reaction here. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Here we have a hunted and a hounded man, but guess what? He is praising God. Here we have a hurting man in many ways, but he is praising God. You know what I love about David? David took a cave and he turned it into a cathedral. And in the darkness of that cave, in the coldness of that cave, David just began to sing and bless the Lord and say, you know what? Praise God anyhow. There's an old chorus years ago, and the chorus goes something. It's a secular chorus, and it goes like this. It goes, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. That's not how it goes, by the way. Not everything was going David's way. But David was praising God. That's a reaction of someone who's trusting the Lord. They praise God. They trust Him. And by the way, there is nothing better for a Christian to do in times when they don't understand what God is doing is they back up and they just praise God. And they trust Him. Now I want you to notice some things about this praise. First of all, I want you to notice it is unconditional. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. All the time. The word bless there means kneel. Can't you just see David? He gets down on his knees and he's kneeling in that cave. And he lifts his hands up in the air, and he starts praising the Lord. Why is he praising the Lord? Because he's trusting God. That's true praise. It's easy to trust God outside the cave. But you know when it's real true praise? When you can do it inside the cave. You know you're really trusting God when you can praise God when you're inside that cave. True praise comes from a heart that is trusting God. True praise is based on a heartfelt belief in God. And by the way, one of the ways you tell the devil that you are winning is when you're able to praise God and trust in the Lord. Someone who said that praise is faith turned inside out. True praise, the outward reflection of what you believe in your heart. And that's what David did. David got into that cave and he said, you know what? I believe there's a God in heaven that's greater than what's going on in my life. I like the story of Billy Bray, old Methodist preacher. Billy Bray had a habit of shouting everywhere he went and praising God everywhere he went. He'd walk around when his left foot hit the ground, he'd say, praise the Lord. When his right foot hit the ground, he'd say, glory to God. And so he'd walk around town, you know, praise the Lord, glory to God, praise the Lord, glory to God. And he drove people crazy sometimes. One time somebody came up to him and said, Billy, what would happen if everything you believe wasn't true and the fact about this thing about salvation, you ended up going to hell? Billy said, I praise God. I shall praise God, glory to God, all the way to hell. And then he said, while I'm down in hell, he said, I'd still say, praise God, glory to God. And he said, the devil would look at me and the devil would say to me, Billy, you can't be saying those things down here. And then he said, you're going to have to get out of here. And then Billy Bray said, I'll say, praise God, glory to God, all the way to heaven. That's the way every Christian ought to be. Amen. We ought to be saying praise God, glory to God all the time. Continually. Unconditionally. That's what he says. He said his praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, David had no idea what the future holds. He was anointed king, but that just wasn't working out. And Saul was chasing him. And Saul was out to kill him. And even in spite of all that, David said, you know what? I am continually going to bless the Lord. Even though the darkness of the future, even though he didn't know what was going to happen, David said, man, I'm just going to praise God anyways. Why? Because David was trusting God. And by the way, when you're trusting God, your praise cannot be contained. Look what he says. He says in verse number 2, he says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know what it was? That was soul praising. That was coming from his heart. David was praising God because he was trusting God. In fact, so much so that he said, hey, everybody, join with me. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. David turned that cave into a cathedral, but not only into a cathedral, but he said, hey, everybody, join with me. He said, let's turn this thing into a camp meeting. And let's all of us start magnifying the Lord. And let's all of us start praising God. And let me tell you, that's the kind of spirit that I see in the church. I see the kind of spirit where everybody's praising God and everybody's glorifying God. And that tells me something. That tells me you're trusting God. I think about Paul and Silas at midnight and they prayed. And yet not only did they pray, but the Bible says they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard it. One of the greatest testimonies we have as Christians in difficult times in our life is even in those difficult times when we can still sing praises unto the Lord. Amen. And our reaction, the reaction of a trusting Christian is that they are going to praise God unconditionally, continually, and it will not be contained. Amen. Praising God. I'd like to submit to you tonight that this praise was the reaction of a man who was trusting God. Read the story of a singer who found out that he had cancer of his throat, and the doctor told him that they were going to have to take the cancer out and that he would never, ever sing again. Just before the operation, he was lying down on the table, and he says, now, doctor, you're sure I will never be able to sing again? And the doctor sadly nodded his head and said, by nodding his head, said, yes. And so the man said, let me get up. And so the man got up. And he said, if this is going to be the last time that I can ever sing, he said, I want the last song that I ever sing to be a song of gratitude and praise. And so there in that operating room, he began to sing, and he began to sing an old Isaac Watts song. And he began to sing these words, I'll praise my maker while I have breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. See, caves cannot keep a Christian who's trusting God from praising God. Amen. That's the reaction of a trusting man. But I want you to notice, secondly, the recourse, the steps, the course of a trusting man. Look at verse 4 and 6. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. See, the steps of the course of a man who's trusting the Lord is that he never feels like he has a line that does not still have an anchor. He never feels like that there isn't any hope. He may come to that place where he feels like maybe there is some hopelessness, but he never gets to the point where he says that there is no hope. Hebrews 6:19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. See, a man who's trusting God believes that God is still his anchor and that his line is still securely tied to him. He knows he has someone to turn to no matter what. Young lady was going on the mission field, and she was given an envelope sealed by a friend as she was going off to the mission field. That friend gave it to her and said to her, if you ever get to the place you have nowhere to turn, open this envelope. Well, she went on the mission field and was there for many, many years. And finally, she came back off the mission field. When she came off the mission field, she had all these friends that were there ready to greet her. Even that one friend that had given her that envelope. When she got off the boat, she said, when I left for the mission field many years ago, a dear friend gave me this envelope and said, if you ever get to the place you have nowhere to turn, open this. In all these years, I never got to the place where I had nowhere to turn. In every trial and in every need, my Lord has always been there with me and for me. See, the person who trusts God finds that no matter what and no matter where and no matter when, the Lord is always there for them. That's what happens when a person trusts the Lord. What's his recourse? He believes the Lord hears him. Look what he says. I sought the Lord and he heard me. David knew in that cave that the Lord heard him. I know people have been crying unto the Lord. I know people have been seeking the Lord. I've got good news for you tonight. The Lord hears you. The Lord hears those prayers. The Lord hears your cries tonight. And by the way, he uses the word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that is the greatest name of God there is in the Bible. That is the Jehovah God. That is a self-existing, all-powerful God. That is the one that hears you tonight. That is the one that will hear you tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon or wherever you seek the Lord. And David said, you know what? The recourse of my life is I know that I always have somebody to turn to that can turn to the Lord and he'll hear me. He'll hear me. But not only that, but he'll help me. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. God not only hears you, God will help you. I was in a department store a few weeks ago, and I was at my shirt and my tie, and it happens to me often when I'm in a store, so they think I work there. And they'll come up and say, sir, can you help me? I said, you know what? I don't work here. One day I was in there, and this elderly lady, and she was kind of a frumpy-looking lady, and she came up to me. She was sweet, and she came over to me, and she just started telling me what her need was in that store. She's trying to find, but she wouldn't give me a word in edgewise. And I mean, she just kept going on and on and on. I'm trying to get a word in there. I can't get a word in there. And the more she talks and the more she's spilling her guts out, you know, what to help her, I'm thinking to myself, you know, this poor lady, I'm going to have to break her heart in a minute. And so she went through all this, and then she said, and she was all done. And then I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I said, I don't work here and I can't help you. And she just looked at me and she was so sad. She just kind of turned her head around and she just walked away. She said, do you know anybody that can help me? I said, I don't. I haven't seen anybody around here. I felt so bad. here she is spilling her guts and telling me what she wants, this help, and she wants to find this, and I can't help her at all. You know, the person you are calling out to can help you.
Amen.
He has all the power to help you.
Yes, sir.
He has all the power to do what needs to be done in every single one of our lives. He said in Psalms 34:5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He was an old preacher, John Fisher. And in June the 22nd, 1535, he'd been in the tower of a prison for 14 months. They didn't feed him, barely fed him. They kept him weak. He was emaciated. He was worn out. Now he's going to be taken to a guillotine. His head was going to be cut off. And as he was walking to that guillotine, he began to quote those words in Psalms 34. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. As he came up to the top and came to the place where soon he would put his neck down and the executioner would take his head, he quoted another verse. Psalms 31:1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. And so the executioner took his neck, and all the way to the end, he trusted the Lord. Can I tell you something? You'll never be ashamed trusting the Lord. You'll never be ashamed. The Lord will hear you. The Lord will help you. And I've never been more amazed than when I watch people who have a true and tested faith, the amazing power that faith is, the amazing power that trust is. I've been amazed as I've watched the Esposito family and their true and their tested faith. They've been strong. I've been amazed at this church, how your faith has been true and it's been tested, and you have a true trust in the Lord, and you've been strong. That's what trusting God does. It makes you strong, makes you believe in the Lord. And if there's anything that the Bible and history records is people who have just said, I'm going to trust the Lord, God has always shown himself to be great and mighty. Read the story of a man, his name was Andrew York. He was known later on as Sergeant York, World War II. He's just a country boy, Christian man, godly man. And he went and he was in the infantry and was a part of the battle of the Argonne Forest during World War I. He was a part of Company G. And they were making their way to the front lines. And the closer they got to the front lines, they began to see bodies everywhere and vehicles and all kind of things that had been blown up. And the closer they got there, the more fearful he began to get. But he'd grown up in church. He'd served the Lord. And he had some words that he said to himself, that he wrote himself. Later on, he would write in his diary. And he began to quote his words softly, repeating them to himself. And the words were, O Jesus, the great rock of foundation, whereon my feet were set with sovereign grace. Through shells or death, with all their agitation, thou wilt protect me if I will only trust in thy grace. Bless thy holy name. And he kept saying those words over and over again. And as he got to the front line, God did an amazing feat through that man that day. That man that day single-handedly captured 3 officers and 129 enlisted men. All by himself. He caught them. And he brought them in as prisoners, one man. When he brought him in, there was a general that was there, and the general said to him, he said, York, he said, I hear you captured the whole German army. And York replied, no, sir. He said, I only got 32. Later on that night, he got his diary out, and he wrote in his diary. You can actually get his diary and read it. And in it, he wrote these words. He said, so you can see here in this case of mine where God helped me out. I had been living for God and working in the church sometime before I come to the army. So I'm a witness to the fact that God did help me out of the hard battle, for the bushes were all shot up around me and I never got a scratch. You know what he was doing? He was trusting God. That's what you do in the battles of life. That's what you do in the burdens of life. You trust God. And you just keep trusting him. And you keep praising him. And you keep seeking him, believing that he hears and believing that he helps. And then the last thing, we see the reward of a trusting man. See, there's a reward that God gives to those who trust him. Look at verse number 8. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." There's two rewards here. First reward is this: you learn the Lord is good when you trust him. You learn that he's good. We went to the Korean barbecue today. Oh my. Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Korean barbecue is good. That's the. By the way, we ate for almost 2 hours. And my amazing place. Oh my soul, heaven came down, glory filled my soul. And now that was my wife's first time. That's my second time. My kids, Nick and Beth, they'd been there before. And you know, some people starve in Bible college. My kids don't starve in Bible college. You guys feed the fire out of these young people. And they said, Dad, you gotta go. You gotta try this place out. You gotta taste and see that it's good. Amen. Well, at the youth conference, they invited me, and I said, I'm gonna trust them, and man, I'm gonna go there. And guess what? I found out, man, it is good. Now, you know what? A lot of Christians miss this. You'll never really see or taste and see how good God is until you really learn to trust him in the hard times. Yes, sir. That's a reward. You learn that God is good. Yes. Now, it doesn't come right away. It takes some time. But if you just keep trusting him, you'll see that he's good. Amen. And then the last thing, you learn what to really want. See, this whole thing of trusting God, what it leads to is God wants to teach all of us what we really should want. Look at verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints. Notice, for there is no want to them that fear him. Now, that's not talking about the fact that there is no needs in a Christian life. He's not talking about your material needs or physical needs. He's not talking about that. What he is saying is when a Christian is trusting God and learning to trust God, they find out that there's nothing else that they really need or want in their life to have joy. It's like that song we just sang tonight. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. That's what it means to trust God. That's where the lesson of learning to trust God becomes a tremendous reward. Because when you learn to trust God, you find out, you know what? I really don't need anything else in my life to truly have joy. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. One little boy quoted it, but he didn't quote it right, but what he said was right. Here's what he said. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. And that's the lesson, that's the reward of learning to trust God. You come to the place in your life where you understand the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. You learn to want him. You learn to know him. That's what I see here. I see a family that's trusting God. I see an assistant pastor that's trusting God. I see a college that's trusting God. I see a church that's trusting God. Amen. Would you take your songbook? Turn over to 520. Can we sing that chorus? Would you stand, please? Is there a pianist? Do we have it? That's okay. We can see 520. You know what the title of this song is? I Just Keep Trusting My Lord. Amen? Amen? That's what you do. You just keep trusting my Lord. You ready? Here she comes. Hannah's on the way to the rescue. Here we go. You ready to sing? Here we go. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. Sing it now. He's a faithful friend. Oh, such a faithful friend. I can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. Listen. He will never fail. Amen? Are you trusting the Lord tonight? Blessed, blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Okay? Taste and see. Taste and see. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you know this. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And so you just keep trusting Him. Let's all pray. Our Father, we thank You, Lord.